It's Thursday and time again for Across the Aisle, our weekly foray into the Maine politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney and Democratic state lawmaker, Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing, who served in Augusta as a Republican, and former independent legislator Dick Woodbury, who's an economist. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. So, first, the State Ethics Commission today decided not to investigate whether the Maine Republican Party violated campaign finance laws in connection with an anonymous political website, the Maine Examiner, that was later found to be operated by the party's executive director, Jason Savage. Democrats say the website influenced the outcome of the Lewiston mayoral race in December and was essentially an arm of the state GOP and should therefore have reported campaign expenditures. Savage argued that this was his personal project and not the party's. Cynthia, you're an attorney. Does this set any possible precedent for the future of these political sites?
Well, these cases are so fact-dependent, and there are two opinions coming out of the Ethics Commission, one in favor of investigating, and that was the case of Dennis Bailey and his anonymous website
from a few years ago,
he worked for Sean Moody, who is now a Republican. And the other, of course, is this website, also operated by someone associated with the Republican Party, and the Ethics Commission decided not to investigate. So I think the only real precedent is the Republican Party or people associated with it using questionable ethics around fake news. And the question really becomes, is this willful ignorance really on the part of the party? I mean, we have the executive director of the Republican Party in a meeting that is where the decision is going to be made as to whether or not the party is going to spread the Maine Examiner news on social media, and Jason Savage apparently didn't disclose to other people making the decision that it was his site. So now the question is, does the Republican Party want to know that their executive director is operating these anonymous sites? That's the precedent, is I think the real questionable use of fake news by the Republican Party.
All right, I'll let you respond to that also, Meredith, but since you're the PR desk on this group, might we see more of these kinds of sites now that they are not, in this, at least in this case, subject to ethics reporting requirements?
I sure hope not. But, you know, and I think everybody needs to sort of remember that this really isn't sort of Republican-Democrat. I think this is sort of how people choose to run campaigns. And unfortunately, it's becoming, oh, heavens, I hope it's never the norm. But, you know, this day of fake news and what is fake news and really the social media world, which operates so fast. And people really don't stop and think or do their own homework. It's a sticky, sticky mess.
Dick, is it time maybe now with this emerging to update the state ethics laws to accommodate the new rules to the nuances of the new digital media?
The thing that's a little funny about your question is, you know, ethics on the one hand is what you do because it's right as opposed to because it's the law. So we're going to update the law to make people do what's right. You know, I certainly think this is another example of us sliding into a sort of informational chaos where, you know, Meredith mentions fake news, where people seem to be willing to put statements out there and say things and tweet things and, you know, call it news about anything, even when they seem to absolutely know that it's not the truth. And in that sort of, I don't know, informational Wild West, you know, I think that is now a big part of what is the dark side of politics. It's not necessarily the candidates doing this stuff, but it's out there. And it has changed the tenor of what politics looks like.
On another front, in the wake of last week's school shooting in Parkland, Florida, high school students are turning out all around the country to call for a ban on so-called assault weapons, semi-automatic weapons. They're also taking to task members of Congress for accepting campaign money from the NRA, which they see as the prime force in the way of stricter gun control. Republican Congressman Bruce Poliquin of Maine is facing some heightened scrutiny for accepting more than $200,000 from the NRA, according to the New York Times. Meredith, Maine is, as we all know, a big gun state, always has been. Is this latest development going to get any more political traction than it has in the past?
Maine certainly has been a strong Second Amendment state and always has been, and I'm really going to guess probably will continue to be. You know, NRA hasn't particularly made any more or sort of extra large donations than many other organizations. I heard what Planned Parenthood has made something like 3 times more donations to candidates than the NRA. So that's not necessarily the problem here. And then the bigger question you're asking, which is, what are we all going to do? I mean, this latest outcry and the students really getting a voice here and starting to become very focused. I do think there will be some change made here. Now, we have a long list of things that can happen that could happen overnight. And the Republicans are right there. They're involved with listening and involved with some of the changes out there. You know, are we going to do away with the Second Amendment? No. So we've got some work to do.
Dick, is this latest groundswell going to change the barometer on the gun issue in Maine?
My first guess is not. We just had a referendum with a background, seemed like a not, huge limitation on gun rights through this referendum on having background checks, and of course did not pass. At the national level, I mean, we've even had trouble trying to put limitations on people who are on terrorist watch lists, for gosh sakes. I mean, so, I think I would say that this is at least another example and perhaps among the more prominent examples of where our country has gone so divergent in two directions on what our policy should be. Other examples are immigration, health policy, even tax policy. The two sides seem further apart than they have ever been, and I think that is as much true with gun control, the gun control, gun rights debate, as it is in other areas, maybe more so.
The fact is, the only obstacle to any common sense, mental health reform, background checks, limitations on guns, is the Republican Party and the NRA, and there's just no getting around the fact that the NRA has prevented this country from doing anything. And until the Republican Party comes to grips with that, that's on them.
Well, it's not as black and white, or in this case, red, as Cynthia's really outlined. This is it isn't just the NRA. The NRA has certainly had no impact on mental health and school safety and all these other things. The NRA has been very focused on simply protecting the Second Amendment rights for America. It's a very complex situation, and we all need to roll up our sleeves and get to work.
All right, Cynthia, Dick Meredith, see you next week.
And a correction, Cynthia Dill is a former Democratic state lawmaker.